Lord, help us to commence this evening with hymn number 92. Who is this fair one in distress that travels from this wilderness, oppressed with sorrows and with sins, on her beloved Lord she leans. Hymn number 92.
Thank you.
us read from the Gospel of John, chapter 20. The Gospel of John, chapter 20. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lying, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back, and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou art borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. May the Lord bless his word and help his servant in prayer.
O thou most holy and eternal Lord God, we need thee now to breathe into our heart a breath of real prayer. Oh, how we need thee to draw near and to abide with us, for it is toward evening and the day is far spent. Oh, we pray for thy sweet and sacred presence to be known and felt both in our hearts and within these walls. Lord, we pray that thou wilt shut the world out and everything that is of the flesh and of man, Lord, that we may have sweet communion and fellowship with thee, and that we may lose sight of all the things of time and the many things that weigh us each day, and have a glimpse of Jesus only. Now we pray, dear Lord, that we might hear thy voice. Oh, that thou wouldst speak to our souls. For thou hast said, My sheep, hear my voice. And all we do pray, dear Lord, that we might have that ear to hear what thou wilt speak. And all that our hearts may be softened and humbled, Lord. We do seek for the grace of humility, that we may be humbled in the dust. And as we come, Lord, we would come pleading the precious name and precious blood and glorious merits of the Lord Jesus. And oh, we do seek, dear Lord, that thou would have mercy upon us. We have to pray continually with the dear publican when he said, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And, O Lord, we pray that thou would grant to us that real heart repentance, and the real heart confession of our many, many sins. Lord, that we may be washed and cleansed from them all. How often we have to come, thou knowest, dear Lord, like the dear hymn writer when he said, "Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, or I die." O Lord, thou knowest those that feel this night the great need of thee to wash and to cleanse us from all sin, and that we may be made white in the blood of the Lamb. We pray to have that real religion thou dost give to thy dear children. We may be amongst those that are truly born again. Oh, that we may be ever hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Oh, Lord, we have to prove continually that none can keep alive his own soul. And we need thee to give us that life within, Lord. Oh, that we may be amongst thy living family. For thou didst say to thy dear disciples, "Because I live, ye shall live also." And oh, that we may be lively characters in the vital things of God, and to be able to say with dear Job, "Thou gavest me life and favour, and thy visitation preserveth my spirit." Now we pray that thou wilt come this night and suit thyself to every sinner's case. Remember those that are cast down, Lord, and feel dejected, and many things to cause them sorrow. But oh, we pray thou wilt whisper to their hearts as thou didst to thy sorrowing disciples, "Ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man shall take from you." And oh, we pray thou wilt turn the sorrows into joy. And as thy dear disciples that we have read of sweetly experienced it, we pray that each of thy sorrowing people may truly know and feel that joy within, and the sweet peace of Calvary. Do grant to us, Lord, a grain of faith to believe. Those that are plagued with unbelief, like Thomas was, we pray thou wilt remove it all. And grant to us, Lord, a real living faith within to believe, even to the saving of our souls. And oh, do grant sweet encouragement to those that feel discouraged, Lord. Thou alone canst grant that heavenly encouragement. Remember those, Lord, that are buffeted by Satan. Oh, do cast the adversary out, and appear for thy dear people. Set them free from all the onslaughts of Satan and the many things, Lord, that he does tempt and try thy people with. And oh, we pray for grace to resist him. For thou hast said, "Resist the devil and he shall flee from thee." And oh, do remember, Lord, the seekers, may those that truly seek thy face sweetly find thee, that they may be able to say with the spouse in thy word, I have found him whom my soul loveth. O Lord, do remember the dear children that gather on thy holy day, and do abundantly bless them while they're in early days. Do hear and answer the prayers of the dear parents and all that pray for them. And oh, do bless the Sabbath school and those that lovingly teach in it. And may they have those sweet encouragements that they labour not in vain, and nor spend their strength for naught. But oh, may there be raised up a seed that shall serve thee, and a generation to call thee the Redeemer blessed. And O Lord, we would pray for those that are afflicted. Many of thy dear people are laid aside. We pray for that needed healing and restoring mercies, and that thou would make each bed in each affliction. And may these things, dear Lord, and all thy dealings with us, all be sanctified, that there may be good brought forth from them all. Do bless, Lord, the deacons, and give them wisdom and help and grace. And we pray that those hymns they give out may prove to be thy choice, and made a blessing to thy dear people. And may there be times of sweet flowing together between pulpit, desk and pew. And do add to the church precious souls, if it would please thee. Oh, may there be those made willing in the day of thy power to follow thee. Oh, we pray for those that gather at Clifton tonight, that thou wilt help thy dear servant and grant to him that gracious help and strength and liberty. And oh, may the one that hopes to follow thee be abundantly blessed and favoured still, and be made a strength and blessing to the church there. And oh, may there be others, Lord, made willing in the day of thy power to take up their cross and to follow thee. For thou hast said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And oh, we would pray for as iron steel, and that thou wilt pour thy spirit out among our own flock too. We would thank thee for what thou hast done, and oh, we would praise thy holy name, and oh, we pray that it may be the sound of an abundance of rain, and that Zion may be yet once again built up. Who help thy dear servants and grant them gracious liberty in the preaching of the word. And oh, may there be that real fruit to follow. In the midst of deserved wrath, remember this nation. And knowest, Lord, the turmoil there is regarding exiting the European Union. Lord, we hear of so and read of so many opinions, but oh, we want to seek for thy will to be done, and that thou would overrule it all, for thou hast all power in heaven and in earth. And may we once again be a nation that fears thy holy name, a sovereign man, and oh may the right laws be upon our statute book, and all those laws that are contrary to thy word all be overturned and rooted out. And may once again this land be a nation that fears thy holy name. Who bless our Queen and thee and Prince Philip in their great age. May they have an evening time blessing in their souls from thee. And do remember the royal household for good. And may they be brought to set a right example in this nation. To hear the cries of those that sigh and cry over the abominations done in the land. And we would praise thee for thy great mercies. We would not let them lie, forgotten in unthankfulness, nor without praises die. Do help us to bless and praise thy holy name, for thy goodness toward us, in spite of all our sin and unbelief. Do wash us in that precious fountain that's open for sin and for uncleanness. Do anoint us now to speak a few things in thy holy name. Oh, do touch our lips with that live coal from off thy heavenly altar. And may the word be the word of the King of Kings. And oh, may it be applied with power to our souls. Leave us not, nor forsake us, O God of our salvation. We would fall into thy kind arms, sink or swim, to make up, Lord, where we so fail in our asking. We pray thou wilt make up in giving. And grant to us that voice to speak and the hearing ear to thy dear people. We would ask thee to pardon what we've uttered amiss. In the precious name of Jesus, for his dear name's sake. Amen.
Hymn 680. Before all worlds the glorious plan, the blessed eternal deed, was settled by the eternal three, that Christ for man should bleed. 680.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the prophecy of Zephaniah, chapter 3, and the first part of verse 17. The prophecy of Zephaniah, chapter 3, and the first part of verse 17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. Zephaniah chapter 3 and the first part of verse 17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. The whole verse goes on to say, he will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. This prophecy of Zephaniah is often referred to as among the minor prophets. But that doesn't mean to say that his commission to prophesy was any less, or any of those minor prophets, than Isaiah or Jeremiah or Ezekiel. What it means really is their prophecy was very short, and but they had this clear commission of heaven, just as those other dear men did, have given by God. Now, he prophesied some 600, over 600 years before the coming of Christ, in the reign particularly of Josiah. And in this chapter, really there are three parts to it. The first part, the prophet was wonderfully used of God to reprove and correct the children of Israel. And he didn't hold back in any way from doing it. And as you can read at your leisure, he spoke so much against their sin and corruption and wickedness, and was used of God to correct them. But the second part was the wonderful appearing of the Lord for the restoring of them. And he says in verse 8, therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. But he goes on to speak of what he would leave in the midst of them. A poor and afflicted and poor people. And then the latter part where our text is found was the time of rejoicing where the Lord had appeared. But these words I've named as a text this evening seem to drop in quite powerfully when I awoke this morning, thinking of the service tonight And as I woke thinking of it, the Lord spoke these words, and I trust they are the Lord's message to bring before you. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. It seemed to so rest upon me, there's two vital things here. The first is the great need of the Lord being in the midst. And that is very precious and very vital. But the second thing was this. Not only did he promise to be in the midst, but he is mighty. We sing in one of the hymns, don't we? Jesus is a mighty Saviour. Helpless souls have here a friend. Well, as on those two points, briefly this evening has helped, I would like to just bring them before you. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee. What a difference there is, isn't there, when the Lord is in the midst. Let us take first worship. When we go up to the house of God, oh, to see Jesus in the midst. And not only to see him in the midst, but to feel and to know his sweet presence in the midst. And that is why we read together that 20th chapter in John's Gospel. It seemed to so rest upon me, thinking of this text. We read, didn't we, in the lesson of the blessed day of the resurrection, when Christ had risen from the grave, a mighty conqueror over sin, death and hell, and Satan and the grave. And there were these dear disciples gathered together. But that wasn't all, was it? They were gathered there for fear of the Jews. The doors were shut. But Jesus came and stood in the midst of them. And you see, nothing could keep him back from being in the midst, though the doors were shut for fear of the Jews. And what a sacred thing it is when we gather in the house of God and the world is shut out, the doors being shut, and Jesus in the midst. Well, let me come low. Is your prayer and mine continually this, as we go up for worship? Lord, do come and make one with us in the midst. We would see Jesus. I love that couplet of the hymn where the dear hymn writer said, while walking in the gospel way, we would see Jesus every day. And oh, what a sacred occasion it was for these dear disciples as he came in the midst. And not only did he come in the midst, but he speaks to them. You know, there are times where the Lord will come in the midst as we gather in his house, and we can feel and know and discern so sweetly the sweet presence of the Saviour. But oh, how blessed it is when he speaks, isn't it? And what did he speak to these dear disciples? Peace be unto you. He was to calm their troubled breasts by speaking peace. Think of what the dear hymn writer said, peace by his cross as Jesus made. He goes on to say, doesn't he, this glorious man, thy peace shall be. Are there those of you this evening that long for him to speak peace into your soul? And it all flows through the precious blood of the dear Redeemer. You see, here was a risen Saviour who had shed that precious blood for these dear disciples and for all the whole election of grace. You and I, if we were among them. And through that precious blood flows peace. Peace to sinners. And then, of course, we have a case of Thomas. And we've no stones to cast at the dear man. There are really two sides you can look at the case of him. Firstly, he definitely wanted to know for his own soul that this was the dear Redeemer. He was not just satisfied with the words of the other disciples. There's that side you can look at it. He says, doesn't he? Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. He was not satisfied with just what they had said. He wanted to know for his own soul. But there's the other side to it, which is so evident here by what the Saviour said. There were the doubts in him. And we're often like that, aren't we? We're doubting. We're fearing. We're often plagued with doubts. We've got in one of the hymns, it speaks of it, doesn't it? The ifs and buts and hows that Satan will put in the heart of the child of God, and he will sow all the doubts he can, Satan will. And you see, with Thomas, there was this plague of unbelief. Think of what the dear hymn writer said, Mr. Cowper, blind unbelief is sure to err and scan God's work in vain. But God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. And he was make it plain to Thomas, wasn't he? And oh, how sacred it is, you know, when the Lord reveals himself to his dear children. What does he say? And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. And immediately he goes straight to Thomas. And then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And what did that do when the Saviour spoke it? It swept away all that unbelief that plagued Thomas. How often do you have to say, and do I, oh, could I but believe? then all would easy be. And out of a very soft-hearted Thomas could come those beautiful words, "My Lord and my God." And how beautifully that dovetails really with our text, because it says, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty." Thy God. Well, let me come low. Do you desire to be able to say, like Thomas did, "He's my Lord and my God"? Because when the Lord gives that real fervent desire, the hour will come in his time when he will so favour you, you'll be able to say that. And your soul will be full. Blessed place, you know. But to come low, what does the dear hymn writer say? "My God, my Father, blissful name, oh, may I call thee mine. May I with sweet assurance claim a portion so divine." Is that the longing of your heart and mine? My Lord. It's like the spouse, you know, in the Song of Solomon. She had been in darkness, she'd been in the winter, she'd known the hidings of the Lord's face, but when he revealed himself, she could truly say, "My beloved is mine, and I am his." Sacred place, blessed place, isn't it? Where the sinner, though plagued by sin so often, she was, but she could truly say, "He's mine." Revealed himself, showed to her he was her beloved. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee. Well, we've named our worship. The hymn writer said, "What is the house to me except the master there I serve?" You want to see Jesus, you say. Think of those in the Mount of Transfiguration. When the cloud was lifted up, what did they see? No man save Jesus only. And maybe those of you tonight that have got those clouds that overshadow you, but you know the Lord can lift them up. I said at home not many weeks ago, you know, they hadn't always got to be in that cloud. They had to come into it, but they weren't to always be in it. The hour came when he lifted it up. You think of your heart tonight. Those clouds that may overshadow you, ye fearful saints, dear Mr. Cowper said, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. The hour came where that cloud lifted, and they saw no man save Jesus only. And that cloud of sin and cloud of unbelief and cloud of trouble or cloud of affliction, we could name a catalogue of things. The Lord can lift it up. And you lose sight of it all. And all you see is the dear Redeemer. And it'll be then a precious Christ to be made exceedingly precious to you. But then there are places where the child of God will come into, where they're in the midst, like the psalmist, though I walk in the midst of trouble. He says, thou wilt revive me. And when you're in the midst of trouble, it surrounds you. In the midst of it. But what'll make that trouble very sweet to you? Whatever it may be a trouble of providence, a trouble in your family, or the great troubles of your heart and in your inmost soul. What'll make that trouble sweet? It'll be when Jesus is in the midst, comes right into the midst of that trouble, and you lose sight of the trouble and see Jesus only. He knew what it was to be troubled. What did he say as he went up to Calvary? Now is my soul troubled. So he can well sympathise with those that are in trouble and in the midst of it. But oh, when we can see him in the midst. Did ever trouble yet before, and he refused to hear thy call? And has he not his promise passed that thou shalt overcome at last? And when you can have a glimpse of the dear Redeemer with you in that trouble, oh, that'll make the very bitter in it sweet. Oh, it will. You won't forget that season, you know. And you won't forget the trouble, because the blessing that you've received in it, in that trouble. And then when we think of the sacred ordinances of the Lord's house, think of the sacred step of baptism. When we can see the Lord in the midst of the water, it'll make a very sacred place, that pool, sweet to you. I've told you no doubt before, we had an old lady at Staplehurst many years ago now, and she was a very nervous lady. And it didn't take much for her to tremble, for her whole body to tremble. And the Lord so blessed her, and she was constrained to follow him in the sacred waters of baptism. You know, she was, I would say, and I'd use the word rightly, petrified of water. And she said to me, she said, I don't know how ever I should go through it. But she said, the Lord has constrained me. And dear Mr. Sperling Tyler came to preach just after she was telling us all how she felt. And he preached from these words, you know. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, and neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And you know, as he preached that night, that dear woman was so blessed. She said, I don't fear the water anymore. You see, the Lord showed her he'd be with her in the midst of it as she ventured. And you know, after she came up out of the water, and I remember her saying to me afterwards, you know, she said, you know, it was just like feathers, so soft, the Lord in the midst. And that's very sacred, you know, to know it and to feel it. But I don't know what you may be in this evening, poor soul, but you think of the Lord being in the midst. It may be there are things you've got to walk through in the future. And you say, oh, but the Lord has favoured me in days past, but oh, these mountains before me, these great concerns. What to make a dying bed sweet to the poor child of God, the tempted sinner, the Lord in the midst. Well, you can look at it on two other occasions that seem to, I hadn't thought of this, but they come to one's mind. You think of the Hebrew children, Meshach, Shadrach and Abednego, in that fiery furnace. Some of you may have to go through some fires. And if we've got a real religion, we shall have to go through the fire. What does the Word of God tell us? I will bring the third part through the fire. So two parts will be burnt up. All that that's of the flesh and of our old nature must be burnt up, the world in us. And all that natural religion that we've got, it'll be burnt up. It'll only be that which is of God that will stand. But think of those three Hebrew children in that fiery furnace. The wonderful thing about it was this. They weren't in it alone. Jesus was in the midst. Even the king saw it, didn't he? He said, were there not three cast into the fiery furnace? Behold, there is four, one like unto the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus with them in the fire. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And oh, some of you in the fires tonight, may this be so, that you see in it all the Lord with you in it. And you see, if the Lord's with you in it, the fire won't hurt you. You may fear sometimes going through, like Job did, the fires that he went through, that he be destroyed by them. But you know, they couldn't destroy Job, could it, that fire? He says, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Those Hebrew children were not burned by the fire, were they? They came out without the smell of smoke even upon them. The Lord in the midst. But then, think of Daniel in the lion's den. There were many lions that plagued the child of God. The hymn writer said, but many a lion is in the way found. That great lion, Satan. Man may be a great lion to you, your own deceitful heart. a lion. But he was not in that fiery, lion's den alone, was he? The Lord was in the midst. The lions couldn't destroy him. Why? Because the Lord had sent his angel, and that blessed angel is none other than the Lord Jesus himself, and has shut the lion's mouths, that they cannot hurt me. Oh, to have the Lord in the midst. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee. It's personal, you see. In the midst of thee is mighty. It's really a very sacred and sweet subject when you come into affliction's pathway and the Lord with you in the midst of that affliction. That'll make the bed a very sweet place. Oh, it will. One of our deacons has been in hospital. He's had a bleed on the brain, and we went to see him in Brighton Hospital after they'd operated. It's very sacred to be with him, really. All he could meditate upon was his dear Redeemer. And the great cost of his salvation. And you know, that bed to him, though in the busy scenes of that hospital, was a very sacred spot. The Lord favoured him there. You see, the Lord in the midst. And some of you may have had beds of affliction that have been very crucifying to the flesh and to our bodies. But, oh, you see, when you can see Jesus in the midst of that affliction with you in it, it'll make that bed a very sweet spot. You can praise and bless his holy name. But I want to just have a brief word about this. He's mighty. Not only in the midst of his dear people, but he's mighty. If you look through the journey of the children of Israel from Egypt through to Canaan, you look how many times a mighty God delivered them. Firstly, a mighty God in the midst of them delivered them from Pharaoh and the land of Egypt when he tried to keep them there. And then as they journeyed through the wilderness, look how a mighty Jesus saved them at the Red Sea. He goes on to speak in our text, and he will save. And there may be those of you tonight, there are things that you need him to save you in. Save our souls. Save us from endless ruin. You think of the children of Israel, how he saved them at the Red Sea, and they stood still to see the salvation of the Lord. It was a mighty God that delivered them, and a mighty God is still on the throne today. And he can deliver you. He can do everything that you need that are impossible with you and with me. You may be faced tonight with impossibilities. Will you think of Abraham and Sarah when the Lord came down to them and said that Sarah would have a son? It was a mighty God that was to give her Isaac, you know. No, it was. Is anything too hard for the Lord? You may have some mighty problems, mighty troubles, mighty sins that weigh you down. Here is one that is a mighty Saviour that can deliver unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. A mighty Jesus. And he still has the same power, poor soul, today that he had when these words were penned all those years before his coming. They were to see in Zephaniah's day the glorious coming of Christ. The Lord, thy God in the midst of thee, is mighty. Well, you go to Calvary, and I speak it with much reverence. There were those two malefactors upon the cross, and we read this, and Jesus in the midst. And you look how that dear dying thief proved a mighty Jesus. Was able to save him to the uttermost. Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, he went to a mighty Saviour with a great request, didn't he? When thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me. And a mighty Jesus, what did he say? This day shalt thou be with me in paradise. You have mighty sins, poor soul, that are stacked against you tonight. They may be sins like mountains. But a mighty Jesus came to wash the blackest, vilest of sinners of all sin. And he had all power to do it. And he has all power to do it in your poor soul and mine. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. Mighty to save is Christ the Lord. And his might will never diminish till time is no more, it will be manifested to his dear people. And we think of the low state of Zion. A mighty Jesus in a moment can revive Zion and build her up. A mighty Jesus, called Saul of Tarsus by his divine grace. He was a mighty God, a mighty work, and it was so manifested, wasn't it, the wonders God alone could do in the dear man, turning him from an enemy of the dear Redeemer to one that so loved and adored a precious Jesus. If ever a man spoke so beautifully and blessedly of the Lord Jesus, the Apostle Paul did. All his hope was in this glorious, mighty Saviour. Where's yours and where's mine tonight? the Lord thy God in the midst of thee. And may the Lord favour us to know this and to may speak it into our souls. And may we prove the sweet reality of it. I could say much tonight. Many sermons could be preached on it. But oh, may the application of this word, and it, a mighty Saviour can apply it, you see. Oh, he can. With almighty power. And he can put Satan down in a moment. You think of how many times the Lord rebuked Satan while he walked his earth. A mighty Saviour could put down all the powers of the evil one. And may we know in our souls the reality of this word. He says he will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy. This is what he's promised to do, you see. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. And when he says he will do these things, poor soul, rest assured that he will do it. We often say we will do this and we do that and we'll do that, but often we forget, or we are not the means to be able to do it. But here is one who has all power in heaven and in earth, a mighty Saviour, who is mighty to save, mighty to deliver, mighty to rescue, mighty to overcome all the troubles of his dear children. Well, I've scratched around the surface. I have to leave it because of my voice, but may the Holy Spirit sweetly apply this word to us. Because when he does, you know, you'll prove the wonders that he alone can do. Well, may the Lord bless the word. Amen.
Friend Mr. Field is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Timothy Rosier next Wednesday evening. Let us close with hymn 535. Oh, the love of Christ to sinners, who can make its wonders known? Sin-born slaves through grace are winners of a bright celestial crown. Jesus gives us endless glory and renown. 535.
poverty of our poor feeble attempts, do bless thy own word. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little of the points. Forgive anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss, who prepare us each for thy holy day. And oh, may we see Jesus only. Be with us now. Take us into thy kind care and keeping. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.